Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Deliverance Live Blog Talk Radio with your host, Apostle Gregory Martin. For our co-hosts tonight, we have Elder Anthony Mason, Minister Nikki Cuthbert. And for our panel this evening, we have Prophetess Tasha Taylor. We have also Minister Yvonne Watson. We also have Minister Daniel Martin, Minister Tamika Cuthbert, and we're looking forward to having a great time on tonight. I do believe that our panelists are here to help me in the subject of tonight, which can be somewhat controversial in one sense of the word, but in another sense of the word, it has to do with real life. Jesus is coming, and he's coming soon. We got to get ready. We got to stay ready. We got to be ready. And this is the opportunity. This is the makeup ground. This is the, where you put on your wardrobe of righteousness and holiness. It's where we put on righteousness as a garment and holiness as a garment also. And this is a time where it's time to lay aside every weight, the Bible said, and the sin that so easily beset us, and run with patience the race that's set before us, looking to Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. And with that being said, we thank God again for our panelists on tonight, and we're looking for God to turn around and bless the listening audience here on tonight. I do thank God for you that have listened in and that are listening in across the country, and for you that have faithfully been tuning in with us, even in the midst of sometimes technical difficulties, you've hung in there with us, and I do believe that God is going to continue to add to your spiritual walk and your spiritual input that is necessary for you to actually please God. And that's what it's all about. We're here for you. We're here to get you to grow in the Lord Jesus Christ and become the person that God intended for you to be. So my topic or subject tonight is caught in the act. Now what? Caught in the act. Now what? What do I do now that I've been caught in the act? I kind of remind me of my own life and growing up, and things that I would get myself in to do, get myself into, and things I would do. Didn't think nobody was watching me, but I found out later on in life that the eyes of the Lord, Proverbs 15:3, the eyes of the Lord is in every place, beholding both the good and the evil. In other words, God don't miss nothing. Nothing sneaks by him. Nothing sneaks upon him. Nobody. Many people may get by, but they don't get away. For Psalms 94:8 says, he that planted the ear, shall he not hear? And he that formed the eye, shall he not see? So God, who planted the ear, he hears everything, including the dictations of our heart and the thing that we and the intentions of our heart. He hears them before we even execute them. If the things that come to our mind, He already see before they come to our mind. That's why the scripture says, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and in everything give, because of the mere fact if you're continually rejoicing, well, then the enemy just can't come in and just knock you over because you're continually rejoicing in the Lord. And it says, pray without ceasing. And if you continue in the atmosphere of being instant in prayer, well, then that means when the enemy come in like a flood, well, then what happened? Yeah, that prayer will go up to God and will cause God to come down to you and move in your situation. And then in everything, give thanks. And it says, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Again, when I was raised up, my grandmother raised me up as a child, and I, for whatever reason, I thought like probably a lot of kids thought concerning their grandmothers or mothers, and what maybe a lot of people think today, I thought she had eyes in the back of her head. In other words, you couldn't fool grandmother. And you know what? The more I think about it, it seemed like it appeared that God and grandmother had something in common. They both knew when I was acting up, getting ready to act up, or I had acted up. I couldn't fool them. Like people are trying to fool God, and they don't want to be caught. But yet, once they're caught, the question is, now what? I remember talking to a young lady one day, and this young lady, she said to me, she said, I've been selling magazines in order to make my way through college. And I said, okay, so where are your parents? She said, my parents are ministers in a particular city, and pastor and his wife. And what they did not know, I asked her, well, what did you do selling magazines? She said, selling magazines wasn't going so well. So she said she was thinking about going back to her old job. Again, I asked her, what did she do? She said she used to be a table dancer. I said, you were a table dancer? And she said, yes, I was a table dancer before I started selling the magazine. I think I'm going back to that. I said, well, let me give you something to think about. Do you not know that every time you get up on the table, the Lord is looking and he's booking? And every dance, every move, and everything that you do, every cat call, calls that men throw at you, the Lord is looking at it all. She said, he sees everything. I said, yes, ma'am. He don't miss a beat. She said, oh, no, I didn't know that God was looking at me like that. Well, that's where he's looking at you. And the only thing you got to do is repent and give your life to Jesus, and he'll turn off the video camera as far as what you have done in your time past. Otherwise, you would be caught in the act, and then what now? Again, I thought about when I was coming up. I went and tried to take or steal some of my grandmother's cornbread, and when I tried to do it, I was so succeeded in taking it, but I put it in my front pocket and I was pinching off of it all throughout the day and eating on that cornbread. Finally, the word got back to her, and when she called me into the kitchen, and she said, did you take my cornbread? And I tried to lie my way out like some people have done in time past. I said, no, I didn't. But the cornbread crumbs had fallen out all over my pocket, outside of my pocket where I've been pinching on it. And she said, well, what's in your pocket? I said, nothing. She said, empty your pocket. I said, what did you say, grandmother? She said, empty your pockets, boy. And I emptied my pockets, and the jig was up. I was caught in the act. My God, what now? Fear hit me because grandmama didn't play. And here I lied in her face. And a lot of people think they're getting away. They're just getting by. And with having said that, I now want to ask our panel tonight, just come on in here on tonight and help us with the subject caught in the act. Now what? Now what's going to happen because a person is caught in the act? And first person I want to address is Elder Anthony Mason. Elder Mason, will you address our listening audience concerning our subject tonight, caught in the act, now what? Elder Anthony Mason.
Amen. Praise the Lord, Apostle. This is a pretty interesting topic tonight concerning caught in the act, now what? Because there are a lot of people that think that what they do and what they're doing outside of that when they're at church on Sunday morning and when it's being in sin, they're getting away with it. But the story that I thought about was the story when Elisha healed Naaman of leprosy. The Lord used Elisha to heal Naaman. Naaman was the commander of the Syrian army, and Elisha had him to go dip seven times in order for him to be healed of leprosy. But immediately following that, the part of the story I would really want to talk about is after that, Elisha's servant Gehazi did something that he should have never done. Naaman tried to bless Elisha with some goods and bless him with some silver and things and told him, take this stuff, you know, just take it. You know, I've been healed. I know that God is the real and true God. I'm going to serve him, but take this stuff as my thanks to you. And Elisha said, no, as long as I live, as long as God is sitting on high, I'm not taking that. And he went on about his business. He said, well, go on about your business. He went on about his business. I'm paraphrasing. But immediately following that, Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, decided he wanted to turn back around and chase down Naaman. Naaman had went on and got on his horse or got on his donkey, and he went on about his business. But Gehazi decided he wanted to chase him down. So he chased him down and said, you know what? We got the sons of the prophets over here, and you know what? How about you just give me a couple of pieces of silver and two garments? And he gave it to him. He took it, and he decided he was going to have the servants to help him carry it back to the house. And when he got back, he carried everything into the house and tried to hide everything. And when he went into Elisha, Elisha said, where did you just come from? And he said, well, I come from nowhere. He said, well, what's not my heart with you when you chased down Naaman and had him to turn around on his horse? What's not my heart with you? Because you went against what I told you to do and went against God, the same leprosy that was on him is going to be on you. And he thought he was getting away because he had the servants to come in the house and follow him. He hid the garments in the house and went on and said, oh, I didn't go nowhere. And that's the same thing that's happening in today's time. People are doing things and think that the pastor and the elect and the minister does not know what they're doing, and they think they're getting away. But God will have the pastor to sit right down in the midst of you in the spiritual realm and see everything that you're doing. And that was the story that I had for tonight.
Caught in the act. Now what? Oh, sometimes that now what can have some consequences of being caught in the act. And with that being said, I want to go to Minister Nikki Cuthbert. Minister Nikki Cuthbert, will you tell our listening audience or share with our listening audience on tonight those things that you have in reference to someone that has been caught in the act, and they're at the position of now what? Our Minister Nikki Cuthbert.
Yes, sir, Apostle Martin. When I heard the topic, it is a very relevant and important topic, especially nowadays, because when I heard the topic, I was thinking about my favorite book, Revelation, and how with Revelations, concern about the judgment day and how everything is going to happen after the judgment day. And to me, when I think about caught in the act, it reminds me of how when the rapture will happen, and when the rapture happens, that's going to be the defining factor between being caught in the act, whether you were really saved or were you just playing. Were you really following the commandments and the way the Lord put everything and the order, and were you just really doing it, or were you just playing church? The rapture is really going to tell who is going to truly be caught in the act of what you were doing. Were you out clubbing and smoking and doing all this other stuff, or were you really truly praying, fasting, and doing the will and the work of the Lord? And to me, when I heard caught in the act, I was like, well, thinking about Revelations, how later on when all the saints of God are raptured up and in heaven, the people are still going to be doing what they are doing now because they think that they're still getting away with everything, that they think that everything's good, fine, and lovely. But then the Lord said that he's going to come and he's going to judge the earth, and that is a definitely caught in the act moment, because the Bible says that the people left on the earth are going to sit there and try and hide in the rocks and hide in the hills and in the mountains to hide themselves from God. But the thing is, you can't hide from God no matter where you are. In the Psalm, and David actually said that if I make my bed in hell, you are there. If I, like, no matter where I go, you are always there. You see me no matter what I do. So you can be trying to do stuff, and you could try and do stuff on the fly, but the Lord will see it. He, even in today's society, everything's on Instagram or Facebook or some social media. The Lord will have a way to where someone stumble across a video of you in a club doing something you're not supposed to be doing. The Lord knows and sees, and he will reveal. So you can, even though people think that they're getting away with it, the Lord sees it, and you will be caught in the act.
One thing is a necessity in order to get beyond the what now that may follow being caught in the act is to repent. In other words, Lord, forgive me for my sin. Forgive me for my wrongs. Take sin out of my life. Take the desire to do wrong out of my life. Asking God to forgive you for your sins. Because the time is coming. The rapture will take place. The coming of the Lord is sooner than what even people believe. But everybody feels that God is going to do something supernatural, and that something supernatural that the Church of Jesus Christ, and I'm not talking about of the Latter-day Saints. I'm talking about the church that Jesus Christ purchased with his own blood, which is all over the world. But then everybody's looking for Jesus to come. And in a moment, in a twinkle of an eye, a person won't have a chance to get themselves together. That's why now is the acceptable time. And now is the time to get yourself together. And then we have Minister Tamika Cuthbert. Minister Tamika Cuthbert, what have you got to say concerning caught in the act and the now what that can follow?
Praise the Lord. I was thinking about in the book of John, in the 8th chapter, about the woman that was caught in adultery. The Bible says that she was caught in the middle of the act. She was caught in the very sin of what she was doing. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they came and they brought her to Jesus. And I can imagine that they felt justified in bringing her to Jesus because they themselves had sin, but they weren't caught in the middle of their sin. They forgot that they weren't perfect. They forgot that they had one time messed up. They forgot that they weren't righteous all the time, that they had messed up. He was actually in the seat to condemn her because he knew no sin. He forgave her. Instead of condemning her, the Bible says that he told her, go and sin no more. And in Jesus, in that word that he gave her, in that very act of forgiving her, the woman actually felt the full effect of God's mercy. She felt the full effect of God's love and compassion because Jesus did not condemn her, but he forgave her for her sin. And it was Jesus' love for us that led him to the cross because we were on his mind while he was on the way to the cross. He sits in the seat of mercy and grace. So now is the time that the Bible says that we should come boldly before the throne of grace. Now is the time that we should go to him because now is the time where he's sitting and showing mercy. He's showing grace to those that will come to him. But he's not going to always sit in that seat. The Bible says that he shall also be in the latter times that he's going to move into the seat of judgment. And in that time, will nobody have an excuse. But now, since he is, now is a time of grace and a time of mercy, the Bible says that we should come boldly before the throne of grace now. He's there to forgive us of our sins. He's there to help us, and he's there to keep us so that in the end, we can live with him. We can go back with him. But a lot of times, people forget that they too were in a messed up condition. They forget that at one time they were messed up, that they were doing something they shouldn't be doing, and they therefore go to condemn other people. But when we're not there to condemn, we're supposed to be there to lift people up and to tell them of the love of Christ. When Jesus doesn't condemn and he forgives, we should forgive.
Okay, all right. Thank you, Sister Cuthbert. And I tell you, we are trying to make people aware that if you're caught in the act of doing something wrong, well, then before the consequences that can happen, well, then you've got to consider that you do have an opportunity to turn to God. Because one thing remains to be a fact, every knee going to bow. And every tongue is going to confess. Prophetess Tasha Taylor, let's come to you. What have you got to say to our listening audience? But before we come to you, for prayer requests and questions, you can call in 215-383-5866. 215-383-5866 for prayer requests and for your questions. All right, Prophetess Tasha Taylor, what have you got to say to our listening audience?
Praise the Lord, Pastor Martin. I also like this topic. It's a good topic. And when I thought about that, I thought about in the book of Joshua, in the 7th chapter, where Israel was fighting a battle against Ai, but they were losing the battle. And Joshua went to God like what we would do if we were losing or something was going on in our lives. We normally, I know myself, I would go to God and say, what's going on? And that's what Joshua did. He asked God, well, Lord, what's going on? You brought us out here to give us over into the hands of the Amorites to destroy us. And God answered and said, Israel has sinned. And they have taken the accursed thing, and they also have a stolen, and they've hid it amongst their stuff, their own stuff. And so what God told Joshua to do was to, when he got up that morning, is to bring all the tribes together, go let every tribe, bring every tribe together. Then after you do the tribes, go through the households. After you do the households, go from man to man. And when he did that, he came across Achan. And when he came across Achan, he asked him, what did you do? Don't keep it from me. Tell me what you did. And Achan, he didn't fight it. He said, I've sinned against the Lord God of Israel. And he told him that. And what he took was a Babylonian, as the Bible would say, garment, 200 shekels of silver, a wedge of gold, a 50 shekel weight. And he hid it in his tent among his stuff. So what Joshua had the men to do was to go get the stuff, and he brought it before Israel. And he took Achan, he took his sons, his daughters, his livestock, all his tent, his home, and all that he had, and brought it. And they took him down into the valley of Achor, and they stoned him. And after they stoned him and his family and all those things, they also set them on fire. And then they place stones upon them. And that, as the Bible says, there's still stones, a heap of stones there today. And Achan lost everything. And he didn't just lose everything. His family lost. So what his act of greediness and disobedience, because God told them not to take anything out of Jericho because it was a curse, because of his disobedience and his greed, he lost it for some material things. So his children lost their lives. The livestock even was killed. That right there got me. And so what I thought about is the Bible says in Daniel 2:28, it says that, but there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets. And so I learned from this story and those that are listening tonight that Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death. So for Achan's sake and for his family's sake, his sin caused everybody to die. He lost everything, even his own life. So even though his children may have not been involved, they lost their lives. And we know that the animals wasn't picking up silver and shekels of gold. They lost their lives. God made sure he wiped everybody out. And once, the Bible says, once that was done, his anger or his wrath of anger was turned. So God turned after that. God was fine. So I thought that you went with the caught. Achan was definitely caught in the act.
Definitely caught in the act. And the what now caught up are the consequences of what he had done, like with some of the other panelists that said, had caught up with him. That's the number to call for your prayer request and your state your questions is 215-383-5866. I want to go to Minister April Rees. Minister April Rees, what have you got to say to our listening audience on tonight concerning caught in the act, now what?
Praise the Lord, Pastor Martin. Well, a character who was caught in the act was Judas. And Judas started off as a disciple of Jesus, but he ended up being an enemy. At this time, Judas was walking through the garden with the Roman soldier while Jesus was praying, and he used a kiss to identify Jesus, and he betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. The Bible says Judas brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders, but the damage was already done. The end result was death, and Judas hung his. Proverbs 14:14 says, "The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself." And Proverbs 16:2 says, "All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirit." So if you are ever caught in the act of betraying God or turning your heart from God, repent quickly and sin no more. Amen.
Amen. Repent quickly and sin no more. Now let me hear from, if you will, Minister Daniel Martin. Minister Daniel Martin, let's hear from you, if you will, concerning caught in the act, now what?
Yes, sir. Pastor Martin, I was reading in Judges 13 through the 16th chapter, and I was reading about the story of Samson and how Samson had the greatest strength. The Lord was with him. But he started playing inside of his weakness. Samson started playing with his weakness, Delilah. So when he started playing with his weakness, he started getting deeper and deeper in sin. And when you start playing, you start getting more vulnerable. And the devil start overcoming you more and more. And you start getting more comfortable because you're playing in sin. So he start playing in his weakness. And so right then he start, you know, mocking the situation. Or then he start lying and saying, "Hey, well, if you tie me up with ropes, and then you can get me. Or if you tie me up with fig trees, you can get me." So he start lying and playing all in his weakness. And so he made himself so vulnerable inside of sin, sin overtook him. They plucked his eyes out. They took out his hair. They shaved his hair because he started playing with his own weakness. He started playing with sin. See, once you start playing with sin, you give yourself leeway for many, many, many more devils. The devils will come in like the flood. The devil will come in and overtake you because you're playing in your weakness. But so you can't play in your weakness, and you got to live your life holy and acceptable unto God. So don't play in your weakness, and the devil won't overtake you. And you won't be like, "Ah, what happening now?" when you get caught in sin. Amen.
All right, caught in the act. What now? Now what? What goes on now? I believe that's where a lot of people are on tonight. Some may be even listening to me or know someone that is in that position. Sister Yvonne Watson, what have you got to say to these that have been caught in the act and they're at the place they're saying, "Now what do I do? Now what?" Sister Yvonne Watson.
Pastor Martin, praise the Lord. Excellent topic. And it reminds me of Ananias and his wife Sapphira in Acts chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. They sold their property, and instead of giving the whole amount to the church, Ananias laid only part of the money at the apostles' feet. And, of course, Peter had the power of the Holy Spirit, and he knew instantly that Ananias was lying, not just to him, but to God. And he exposed him right then and there in front of everybody. And Ananias fell down and died right where he stood. Then his wife Sapphira showed up, and right after that she lied too, lied to Peter and to God, and fell down and died right where she stood. This is a powerful example of being caught and what you're going to do now. And the worst thing that you can do when you're caught is to lie. It was a time when the church was filled with the Holy Spirit and everybody was of one mind and one heart. And they wasn't trying to hold on to anything that was of value because they loved God and they loved each other so much. So they was glad to give everything they had that was extra. And had Ananias and Sapphira told the truth, of course it would have looked selfish for keeping part of the money, but it would have been the truth. But because they was hypocrites trying to pretend to be so generous, God let them fall down dead right where they stood. And the Bible says in verse 11 that great fear came upon the church. And what we want to learn from this mistake is that when we caught in any sin, no matter what it is, don't lie. Admit the truth, truly repent, not just because we're caught, but because we hurt God. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Let's get ready to go to break. I might want to come back on some of this stuff I just heard. But let's get ready to go to break. This is Apostle Gregory Martin. We're going to break now. So as a result, remember you can call 215-383-5866. And we're talking about caught in the act, now what? What do I do? Caught in the act, now what? We're going to get ready to go to break. And God bless you. And we'll talk with you on the other side of break.
You met me deep in my despair to show me you would never leave me there. You claimed me 'cause I was made for so much more. I am your child and I'm worth fighting for. Oh, heavy with the weight of my mistakes, you carried me and refused to let me sink under the pressure you meant for me to soar. I am your child and I'm worth fighting for. Eyes haven't seen, ears haven't heard all you have planned for me, and nothing can separate me from your love. And so much more still worth fighting for. Now I'm moving by faith and not by sight towards victory. By the power of your might, you're straightening out my path. Don't think every door, I am your child and I'm worth fighting for.
Nothing can separate me from
when there's so much more.
Hallelujah.
God bless you. God bless you. This is Apostle Gregory Martin. We're on the other side of break. The number again is 215-383-5866. We've had a fantastic subject here on tonight, and I do believe that it's designed to bring a person into reality. There are certain things that you just don't want to get caught in and you just don't want to do. In other words, you don't want to let your today spoil your tomorrow. You don't want to let, again, your today spoil your tomorrow. Our panelist has been great in bringing us to break time, but now on the other side of break, let me just kind of recap. Prophetess Tasha Taylor talked about Achan and losing his family because he took stuff out of Jericho. And then Elder Anthony Mason talked about Elisha and the servant Gehazi, which, if you will, lost the supernatural ministry that he was next in line for because he lied to the man of God. And then there was Peter in reference to Ananias and Sapphira, his wife. Ananias and Sapphira came in with a lie in their mouth, and that was done expressed by Minister Yvonne Watson. Amen. And I tell you, she took us to break on that one. And then that was by April Reeves. Well, there was Judas betraying Christ. She talked about Judas and the act of betrayal. And then Daniel Martin talked about Delilah and Samson, how that Samson played with his weaknesses, and his weaknesses got him in trouble. And if you will, he became a beast of burden because they put a yoke on his neck. Then there was Minister Tamika Cuthbert, who talked about the woman that was caught in adultery. The Pharisees said in the very act, but it was the grace of God that came upon her by reason of Jesus said to them, "You that are without sin, first cast the first stone." And what he was speaking about is that everybody need to repent. For the Bible said in Luke 13:5, except we all repent, we shall likewise perish. And then finally, it was Minister Nikki Cuthbert who talked about the revelation of Jesus Christ, the revelation of the coming of the Lord, the revelation of the rapture of the church of Jesus Christ, the revelation that if you're going to make it, you've got to keep your act together. You've got to live right. And so I want to also, before we go on into our questions and answers, while we're waiting upon our calls to come in, I want to remind everybody on March the 4th, that's a Friday night, March the 4th, we're going to have question and answer, Q&A, time for the almost the whole broadcast. So if you're going to, from the time the broadcast come on, if you get your questions, and we're going to attempt to answer your questions that maybe you haven't had the opportunity, feel comfortable, or we haven't covered the subject concerning that question that's in your heart on March the 4th, that's on next Friday night. We plan to have a Q&A time here on Deliverance Live Blog Talk Radio. With that being said, I want to now, while we're waiting upon any callers that may be on the line with any prayer requests.
Amen. Praise the Lord, Apostle.
Elder Anthony Mason.
Amen. Praise the Lord. We actually have a comment with a testimony, and then I have a question from the text line tonight. I'll do the question from the text line first.
Okay.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm sorry. The question says, what if you get caught in the act and you repent, but you don't feel like you've been forgiven, so you keep asking over and over again for forgiveness? What do you do in that situation, or, you know, what's going on with that?
What if you're caught in the act and you ask God to forgive you? First of all, you've got to believe that he will forgive you and that he has forgiven you. And So once you repent, repent means to really to stop. The Bible says there's two types of repentance. People are repenting because they've been caught. It's like a man goes to two men go to, before a judge. One was innocent and driving a car, did not know that the person that was in the car was going to turn around and rob the bank. But what happened when they both appeared before the judge, the bank robber, the man that actually didn't know was innocent, he pours out his heart before the judge, and the judge know that he was just a victim of the circumstance. But then here's the other guy. He is trying to do the same thing, but he's not repenting because he's really sorry. He's repenting because he got caught. What do you do? If you're that person, well, then what you do, you ask God to forgive you, and then you believe that if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just enough to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And for just a couple of seconds with Minister Yvonne Watson, would you also comment on that question?
Pastor Martin, praise the Lord. Yes, for me personally, I knew I was forgiven when the same sin would come and I was able to overcome it. I was not weak anymore with it. And I knew that God had given me the power through the Holy Spirit to not do that same sin again. And it hasn't happened again. Over and over and over, I'd be tested, and it just wouldn't, I wasn't able to do it. And so that's how I knew that I was forgiven. I believed I was forgiven when I said the prayer. But at the same time, we can be tested again for the same sin. And when we have the power to overcome it, the Holy Spirit convicts us and we know in our hearts that we have done the right thing and we know that we are forgiven. Praise the Lord.
And then in knowing that you're forgiven, you've got to act like you've been forgiven. You've also, thank you, Sister Yvonne, by the way, you've got to act like you've been. In other words, if once you ask God to forgive you, then make a detour, turn around, or stop, or just complete, because completely just stop what you're doing, go if you have to do it cold turkey. In other words, with without any of this, it's almost like what some people, they're smoking cigarettes and they try to break it down from a whole cigarette to a half a cigarette to a butt. No, none of that. When you ask God to forgive you, then whatever you're doing, just stop. And then act like it from that standpoint. Talk to yourself, confess that God has forgiven me, and then believe that he has, and the joy of the Lord will come into your heart. All right, Minister Anthony Mason, continue on if you will.
Amen. Praise the Lord. The next caller is coming from our family in California. It's Minister Chris, and he has a testimony he would like to give tonight. Minister Chris, you're live on the air.
Oh, praise the Lord, people of God. I have a testimony concerning restoration in terms of this topic specifically. And I was in the act of adultery, not caught in the act, but had committed an act of adultery. And I was very fearful because I knew my wife, she had explained to me before we had gotten married that if anything should happen, it was going to be the end. It was done. And I knew that she was serious, and I knew. And it was a while. I never had done anything, and it was just one thing that just happened. And it happened, and I just knew I was not going to tell my wife. I was willing to die and go to the grave with this secret that I had fell. And just like it was stated tonight that the eyes of the Lord are everywhere, God began to show her in dreams that something was up, something was wrong. Not once, but a couple of times God showed her the same dream. And she came to me, and she came to me with so much love, and she said, Chris, what happened? What's wrong? And I was there, and I bare it all. And my wife loved me, and God restored me, and God restored her. I repented. He restored our marriage. and to God be the glory. We are together, and I wouldn't do another thing. I promise the Lord that, and I won't go back. That's just my testimony tonight for those who may be listening. God does restore. If you hurry to repentance and you believe that he has heard you and you believe that he forgives, he will restore, and he does forgive. Amen.
He does restore. He will forgive. Thank you, Chris, for that testimony. Sometimes people look down upon people that have committed some act of sin and was caught in that act of sin, and they have some people sometimes forget where they come from and what God has brought them from and brought them out of. But it's time for us to remember that there's brothers and sisters that have fallen, that have been ensnared and trapped and taken either according to their will or even against their will by the enemy. But God is still able to bring a person out and restore to them full forgiveness, full life, and full joy. And these are some dangerous times we live in. Women got to be watchful in reference to just the onslaught of men that comes against them. And then the scripture says concerning men in reference to women of the onslaught that comes against them. And I'm not talking about people in the world. I'm talking about people even in the church world. And the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 7, and 26, I find more bitter than death is a woman whose heart is full of snares and nets. Her hands is as bands. A sinner will escape her, but he that pleases God, a sinner will be taken by her, rather, but he that pleases God will escape her. So, and this where James 4:7-8 says, submit yourself therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And resist means that you just sometimes, I listen to you, Brother Chris, and sometimes you can resist today. And then the enemy will send somebody else with the same situation. But once you have been captive, you don't want to be captive no more. Once you've been free, you're praising God and thanking God, not only now, but throughout eternity, for setting you free. And thanks be to God who said, I will break that yoke from off of your neck and I will burst that bonds, his bonds from the devil's bondages asunder. And that's what he did for you, Minister Chris. And we're rejoicing with you that God restored you and you restored your family. And I thank God for that testimony. God bless you. Elder Anthony Mason, we're back with you now.
Amen. Praise the Lord. That was all
the questions and comments for tonight. But just by hearing Brother Minister Chris's testimony, scripture immediately came to mind for myself, just real briefly, Galatians, the 6th chapter, and the 1st through the 3rd verse. It just says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. Now you find that somebody has made a mistake, or somebody has committed a sin, or fallen. We as Christians and those that are spiritual should do everything we can to pray for that person and to ask God to restore them and help them, especially if they have already repented. And ask God to forgive them. And a lot of times people feel convicted concerning certain things that they've done in their past. And we as the saints of God have to make sure that we're not pushing more and more judgment upon them. But as the scripture says, restore such a one. So I just wanted to make that comment.
And that's real good, Elder Anthony, in reference to restoring such a one. And you said it says in the spirit of meekness. Not haughty, not old tyrannical spirit, I'm ruling over you, but in the spirit of meekness. And it says considering yourself, because most of us that have seen others have fallen in some area or another, we may have fallen too. And one thing it takes the grace of God to cause a person to turn back to God. And that's what God wants. I often say this, people are not going to hell because they're drunkards and they're alcoholics and because they're smokers and because they've gotten high, because they may be prostitutes or someone that's committing whoredom or whoremonger, a thief or a liar. They're going to hell. If anybody go to hell, it's because they did not repent when they had the opportunity in life to repent of these things and turn from these things. In other words, they didn't go to Jesus with this stuff. They weren't honest and open and willing to confess that thing, and that's all the Lord asked. He said our job would be to confess our sins. He would be faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. But our job is to confess. His job is to forgive. He will do his job as long as we do our job. And I do appreciate that, because it takes boldness. It takes the grace of God. It takes the joy of being free, the joy of being liberated, in order to testify of some things that people are throwing people away concerning, knowing that they themselves can also be tempted in some of the same areas. So praise the Lord for that, and I thank God for that. Now, I want to address my panelists again here. Remember, March the 4th, that's a Q&A, question and answer. I don't care what question, what thing that you want to know. We will deal with you, hopefully, from the scriptures and give you an understanding according as God has given to us to do that. All right? But I want to ask as if I was one of the listening audience, how can I turn around from what I'm doing? Because some people are still there. Some people hadn't got to where Chris has gotten to and beyond. Some people are still there. And my question would be, and as I stand, as the scripture said, my little children whom I travail at birth until Christ be formed in you, as I stand with those that may have problems and still in a situation, how can I turn around from what I'm doing? And I want to ask Minister April Reeves, how can you tell our listening audience that they can turn around from what they may be doing or caught up in?
Well, first, I try to place myself in that situation and try to imagine myself in a situation like that, because I've been in situations like that before, and God delivered me. But sometimes you get to the point where you just have to stop. You just have to sit there and be stopped. And what I've done was first cried out to the Lord, and then I surrounded myself around strong believers, saints. And I didn't just keep the issue or whatever it was that I was battling to myself, because I couldn't handle it myself and I couldn't carry the weight of it by myself. So I had to conversate. I had to let people know, look, this is a problem for me. This is an issue for me. And the more I stayed around the saints and the more I opened up and, you know, and certain things that I was battling with, and the more I kept praying about it and I wanted to get out of the situation, God ended up delivering me and setting me free because my heart was sincere.
Well put, Sister April Reeves. Well put. You surrounded yourself around believers, and grant you, I don't believe you talked to everybody, but you had that certain people that you talked to that would actually minister to you and encourage you that, hey, you don't have to be there or stay there. And I want to ask the same question to Prophetess Tasha Taylor. What do you say? You only got about 60 seconds, but what do you say to someone that's in a position in reference to how can they turn around from what they were doing?
Praise the Lord, Pastor Martin. I find that having leaders that you can go to, is especially those that care about your soul and they want to see you free and delivered. I believe having leaders to go to tell them, look, this is what, somewhat of what Sister April said, this is what I'm going through. I need help. because you can't do it by yourself. You need somebody to pray with you, somebody to encourage you, and to be able to go to a leader and say, hey, this is what I'm going through, and say, I need prayer. And just to be able to be real, to be able to pour your heart out to, but it has to be somebody that is stronger than yourself and also someone you could trust. And a lot of times, good leaders, that's where you need to go. So, and also being in the house of God, hearing other people maybe giving testimonies about this is what I've been through, and then you can say, okay, I can make it because that person made it. So I believe it's having good leaders to go to and share with them, and then they can pour into you and help you and pray with you and even speak deliverance and pray deliverance over you.
Amen. Amen. That's good. That's fine. And God's got some great leaders out here. But I wouldn't go to someone that's untouchable. I wouldn't go to someone that don't have the time to deal with your situation. For 30 seconds, you got about 30 seconds. Minister Daniel Martin, what would you have to say to someone? You got about 30 seconds to tell us something. What would you do?
To the listening audience, I just tell them to stop your ways. Realize that, you know, your life is at stake. Understand that you got to be saved before you go to heaven. Be willing to give up sin. Turn from your wicked ways. And he said, he'll heal your land. He'll heal you. So if you just stop what you're doing, realize that your life is at stake. And you don't want to be lost in eternity forever. So turn from your wicked ways. Turn from your wicked ways. That's what I say to the listening audience. Amen.
Stop. They got them. They got stop signs on almost every corner. Stop. And it's the same thing that must be done in life. All right? I'm getting ready to go into prayer for our listening audience. And for those of you that still having problems, I do want to let you know that in my prayer is my desire toward God, that God will help you get beyond that being caught and get out of that act that you may be doing, whatever it is. It can be something emotionally. It can be something physically. It can be something psychologically. It can be something that has to do with your feelings and how you feel about others. You can stop. You can bring it to a close. You can pull the shade on it, shut the door on it. You can turn to God, and God will forgive you. But I'm getting ready to pray for every one of our listening audience now. I'm prayerfully that you remember the subject, caught in the act, now what, and remember that you don't have to get to that now what. You can do like Minister Chris did, and you can turn around and ask God to forgive you. Come clean with God, and I tell you, God will turn around and help you. Thank God for our audience on tonight, our panelists. Also, we praise the Lord for you. But let me pray for the listening audience. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for our listening audience, and I thank you for those that are in those type of situations where they've been caught in the act, and guilt and shame has gripped their hearts, and they don't know what to do or where to turn. Jesus, you said for everybody to look to you. And not only that, but to cast their weight, their burdens upon you, for your weight, your burden is light. And they will turn around and find their burdens to be lifted, and they will be delivered. And right now, I want to turn you into the hands of Minister Anthony Mason. And again, I'm thanking God for you that have called in and you that have been listening faithfully. Q&A. And Minister Anthony Mason, you got the last words for tonight. God bless my listening audience. This is Apostle Gregory Martin, and we're signing off. But now into the hands of Minister Mason.
Amen. Thank you, Apostle. We just like to thank you for listening to Blog Talk Radio on tonight. We just like to let you know that this broadcast has been brought to you by Deliverance Unlimited International Church in Atlanta, Georgia, 2426 Fabian Road, Atlanta, Georgia, 30331. You can visit us live and in person, or you can also visit us on our website at deliveranceunlimited.com. I'd like to mention that we are on several social media networks such as Facebook, Periscope, Instagram, Twitter, and many others. You can find out
each and every one of our social media networks on our website. If you have any questions for next Friday's Q&A session, please submit your questions to deliveranceunlimited@gmail.com or visit us on our website at deliveranceunlimited.com. Once again, I'd like to thank you for listening to the show tonight. God bless you and good night.
Every time
put it up, come on.